Isaiah chapter 38, as we continue in our series on life lessons from those who walked with God. Today we're going to be looking at Hezekiah. Isaiah 38 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you that as we recognize that we are sinners, as we understand that Jesus Christ truly came and died on a cross and shed his blood and was raised from the dead to pay for our sins, Father, that we can come to know Christ. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will know Christ in full reality, seeing him with our own eyes. But in the meantime, God, I pray that we would find Christ as we continue to study your word. And Lord, that others would see Christ in us in our daily living. We thank you, God, for this King Hezekiah, for the way in which God used him in the land of Judah. And I pray, Father, that we would be able to learn some lessons from his life, that you would use us where you have placed us here. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Hezekiah is somewhat of a bright spot in the history of Judah. Sadly, he comes from a very long line of evil, wicked, and bad kings. And yet he comes as a little bit of a bright spot, of a ray of sunshine, of a reminder of what can happen when one truly seeks to walk with God. It's interesting to note that his name is mentioned nearly 200 times in the scriptures. In fact, we find mention of him with many chapters fully dedicated to him in over 17 chapters in the scriptures. This King Hezekiah was one who walked with God. And today, you and I may live in what is becoming certainly more and more a hostile environment toward God. As Paul reminds us and warns us, really, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Nevertheless, we too can be a bright spot of spiritual sunshine in a world of spiritual darkness if we choose to walk with God and learn from the life of Hezekiah. The first thing that I would like for us to notice as we understand the life of Hezekiah is that he chose not to be a victim of his circumstances. He chose not to be a victim of his circumstances. Now, as we mentioned, he was the son of a very wicked king by the name of Ahaz. In fact, that king was so wicked that he literally had, during his reign, the people come and nail the doors to the inner part of the temple shut so that the worship would cease and that the people would be fully engulfed in idolatry. I mean, you know, we get a little frustrated if a door is left ajar, if something is unlocked. But can you imagine to come to church and find not just that the key didn't work, but that there was no key to be used to open up the house of God to be able to worship the Lord? So when we understand Hezekiah and where he's coming from, he didn't have wonderful, God-fearing parents. He wasn't reared in the ways of the Lord. He did not know from a child, as we think of Timothy, the things that God would have desired of him. But he did not allow that, those evil circumstances, and that evil, ungodly, godless environment in which he was raised, to cause him, therefore, to continue down that path. Now, I praise God this morning that the Lord allowed me to be born into a Christian home. I thank God that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 4 years old. But I also am not ignorant of the fact that this morning many of you may look at a situation like that and say, well, Pastor, I really can't associate with that. That was not the way that I was raised. Some of you did not have both parents saved. Maybe it was just a mother, or perhaps it was just a father. Others of you did not have parents in either case that were saved. Some of you may have come from religious homes where you went to church, but it was all about the head and never reached the heart. Others of you may have come from purely secular homes where going to church was just something that you never did. But I want to remind each one of us this morning that when we think of our God, when you and I can take and hold in our hands the holy word of God, these 66 books, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we can find a message from the Lord, we can, regardless of our background, choose to walk with God. You know, when we understand this young man, he came to the throne at the age of 25. How many of you in here are within 5 years of 25? Below or above? Oh, John, that trip, I should have known. All right. But you know, you think about being in control of a huge group of people. This was Judah, keeping in mind the two tribes of Israel that had pulled away when the kingdom had divided after Solomon's reign. But here he is at the age of 25, given the responsibility of leading militarily the people of Judah. Do you know what he chose to do? He chose to not learn the way of the heathen. Now, Jeremiah was not a contemporary of his, although Isaiah was, but I do believe that he fully understood the message of Jeremiah when he said, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." No, you may have come, like I said, from a less than spiritual environment. But I want to remind each one of us that every single one of us will stand individually before Almighty God and give account of our lives one day. And you and I can choose to not follow the way of the heathen, to not learn the way of the heathen, and to not live by the way of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm grateful for the fact that he, Hezekiah, chose to the best of his ability to put out wickedness in the land of Judah. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18. We will come back to Isaiah, but in 2 Kings chapter 18, we find here a brief mention of this. As I've already stated, his life story is spelled out for us in a number of different places in the scriptures, and in each of those accounts, we find slightly different details that we can take and put together as a whole picture regarding how Hezekiah walked with God. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 3, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." Now, when it says David his father, it's talking in a patriarchal sense. It's not talking as his being his literal father. But it says, "As according to all that David his father did, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves." You know, when we think about idolatry that can creep into our lives, I'm fearful that all too often what we choose to do is rather than literally getting it out of our lives, we simply choose to push it aside. You know, we say, all right, well, I know this may not be right. I know this may be a distraction of my time, so I'm just going to put this over here on the side, and I'm going to now focus on the things of the Lord. Well, the devil knows it's there on the side. The devil knows that he can use that to trip us up. The devil knows he can go back to that and cause us to no longer walk with God. But you see what Hezekiah did? He didn't just take all of those idols and put them into storage and leave them there for the next king to be able to reinstitute idolatry, but he destroyed them. In fact, it is interesting that we find out in that same verse there that he actually took the brazen serpent that Moses had made when God sent the plague and caused it to have a legitimate use, telling the people if they would look to that serpent, the bronze serpent, that they would be healed. And we know that that was symbolic, as what the Bible teaches us in the Gospels, of Jesus Christ being lifted up, and the way in which you and I are saved is by looking to the cross and by looking to him. But something that was intended to help point them really to God over time had become something where they worship the object more than the Creator, where they were all concerned about the external trappings of this serpent than the God who had given the instructions initially to make that serpent. And so he said, I'm getting rid of that too. And you know what is sad today is we find so many people in churches, not just here, but as we saw Wednesday night with the missionary from Japan, around the globe, we find all kinds of people who are all concerned about the external. They are all concerned about worshiping what can I see, forgetting about the fact that Almighty God is the one who sees all of us, and that Almighty God is the one who desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. But now we understand that he was willing to rise above those circumstances. He did not consider himself a victim of his upbringing. He did not use that as a crutch to lean upon. But if you'll turn with me now back to Isaiah 38, we see that he pleaded for the Lord's mercy. He pleaded for the Lord's mercy. The Bible says here in verse 2 of Isaiah 38, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Now, we have to understand what the significance was in the sickness that he had. Some would say that perhaps this was a sickness that could have taken his life in a matter of days due to the type of pestilence that would have been common during those days. But regardless of whether or not that was the case, the greater issue at hand that was of a concern to him was the fact that he did not have any children that would be able to follow in his footsteps in the throne over the kingdom. And we know that as we understand that God blessed him a few years later with Manasseh, in fact, about 3 years later. But at this point in time, his concern is, what about what's going to happen to Judah? What is going to happen to the people here? I've instituted these reforms. I'm seeking to do what is right. I'm trying to get the people back on track for God. What about the future? But you know, in this prayer that he prays to God, is it not interesting to note that he does not ask him at any point in this prayer for God to heal him? But what is it that he does? In his prayer, he exalts God and he reminds God of his genuine devotion to God. In verse 3, the Bible says, he says, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, when it says there that he beseeched God, that is, he was crying out, he was pleading with God, he was pouring his heart out to God. And he said, Lord, he said, I have sought to follow you in truth and with a perfect heart. That is, with a complete, or as we would say, an undivided heart. You know what happens all too many times in our own lives is we may have God. We may have even Jesus Christ. We may genuinely be a child of God. But when it comes to the way in which we're seeking to walk with him, it becomes somewhat divided. And it is manifest in the priorities that we have. Do we give our personal daily devotion time the priority that it merits in God's eyes? Am I concerned about really seeking to live for God tomorrow when I'm not sitting in a church pew as much as I am now when I'm surrounded by others who are part of the family of God? And he was able to say, God, I have sought to seek you. I have sought to follow you, rather, with truth and with a perfect heart. Not a sinless one, but rather one that is complete, where all of my attention, all of my focus, all of my devotion has been not on myself, not on my kingdom, but has truly been on you. And he says also that has been manifested not just through what I have done with my heart, but also what I've done with my hands, have done that which is good in thy sight. No, we have to make sure as we seek to walk with God that when we plead for God's mercy and we seek to look at our lives and saying, well, yes, have I been one who is walking with God? Then it will be reflected through the heart attitude that I have towards God, towards His Word, towards the time that I spend talking to Him, the fellowship, the communion with Him, towards the time that I devote to coming to worship with Him. And to be with other believers and to take those requests before the Lord and to pour out my heart before God for their needs. But it doesn't stop with just my heart. It goes forward with my actions. And sometimes what we want to do is we want to focus all on either extreme. Well, it's all about the heart. And the heart is important. The heart is, in fact, critical because we know God looks on the heart. But if my heart is truly right with God, it will be manifested in the way in which I live for God. And the things that I do, taking the talents and gifts that God has given to me and putting them to use in serving God in the work of the Lord. I love the fact that he had this undivided desire and he was able to tell God that he had walked with a perfect heart. He was sincere before God. The psalmist says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, it's interesting that when we think of praying to God, God knows whether or not we really mean what we're saying. God knows if, all right, he's just saying that because everybody's expecting him to say that. All right, you know, they're asking for help in this situation, but they don't really think that God is going to answer. They're not really trusting that God is going to really give them this desire. But notice what God says in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. No, he was able to say that he was living a life of no regrets. As my dad often says, live for God today, and there will be no regrets tomorrow. Hezekiah was one who was able to come before a holy, righteous God and pour out his heart before him and cry out before him and cry physically for him and say, God, I really, really want to see you work. Sometimes I have to question whether or not when we go before the Lord and we ask Him to work on our behalf, if we're not perhaps praying somewhat half-heartedly. Well, God, you know, we really don't expect this to happen here, but we'd like for it to happen. You know, Lord, I want to be a better soul winner, but, you know, I've got a track record, and I understand, you know, you're probably really not going to use me today, so I'm going to go out. And I think, wait a minute. What we ought to be saying is, God, give me that passion, that heart for souls. Lord, help me to go out sowing in tears so that I can reap in joy. Lord, I'm coming to your word today, and God, as I read it, you know, I know I'm not going to understand this, and it's a little bit difficult, and it's a little bit over my head. Wait a minute, God, I want to hear from you as I hold your word in my hands. Lord, I want to get a message from God today. Heavenly Father, I really want the Holy Spirit to speak to me through this sacred book. And God, truly may this time with you be a time of genuine fellowship and communion as I hear what is your message for my life today. But you know, when we think of Hezekiah pleading before the Lord, we know that he was one who had sought God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 31, thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Now I have to ask myself, was he not mindful of the fact that God would reward, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, reward those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. What a wonderful testimony that he could go before God and say, Lord, you know me like no one else does. God, you know I have sought to serve you with my heart. Lord, I've sought to follow after your truth. And God, you know that it's not just been my heart, but it's been those things that I have sought to do in your sight. And in all of this, he never doubted God's power. One of the problems that I think sometimes we encounter in our lives is we take prayer requests before the Lord, or we come before God with a heavy heart. And because we are so intent on what we can see, we forget about the God who sees the invisible, who moves in ways that you and I cannot see with the naked eye. But I'm so grateful for the fact that, as Paul reminds us, that when we talk about our God, he is the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It was William Carey, the great missionary to India, who said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. So Hezekiah was able to say, Lord, God, you know, I've sought to do a lot of things in my life that would reflect my commitment to you. I've sought to walk with you before the people. I've sought to walk with you in a holy, righteous fashion. And so now, without even spelling it out and without even saying, God, would you heal me? He simply pours his heart out before God, and he is convinced that if God so chooses, he can heal him. Now, when you go to God in prayer with a need that you have or with a heavy burden that you have, do you pray to God and genuinely believe that he's going to answer? Do you genuinely believe that he has the capability of doing so? Now, I'm too afraid that oftentimes we may get a very ominous doctor's report. We may find ourselves in an unexpected financial predicament. You may find yourself in a job situation that you would have never imagined 5 years ago or 2 years ago. But when you go to God, do you really kind of go to him as if he's your last resort instead of your first? Do you go to God and say, well, Lord, you know, we all know what the books say. We all know what the doctors say. We all know what the expected outcome is going to be. Or do you go to God and say, Lord, you know my life is an open book. You know who I am. You know what I think. You know what I say. You know what I do. And God, I just want to see your power in this specific situation. Do we really call unto him and desire that he will show us great and mighty things that we do not know? But I want to remind us that here is this man who did walk with God, who chose not to be a victim of his circumstances, who pleaded for the mercies of the Lord. But sadly, he forgot the one who gave him all that he had. You see, God came and, as is indicated, answered his prayer. He said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. God rewarded him. But the problem came when he forgot to give God the glory for that prosperity. You know, God allowed him to see victory. In fact, the previous chapters that we have here of 36 and 37 are actually chronologically came before chapter 38. We know that from the account of that we can find in the book of Chronicles and in Kings. So he saw God do a phenomenal feet when he wiped out 185,000 soldiers in the army of Sennacherib. Thinking himself helpless, thinking himself hemmed in, but again remembering the power of Almighty God. But as the king of Babylon came to him and wanted to find out, how is it you have been successful? How is it you've been healed? How is it that you have accumulated all of these goods? Well, sadly, his heart became proud. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 32:25, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. You see, he had been warned of pride by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And Isaiah even came and told Hezekiah that the reason why God gave the victory over Sennacherib was because Sennacherib's heart was lifted up. And he said in the previous chapter, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? So this morning, here's what I trust you'll ask yourself. What are your circumstances? Do you look back and say, well, you know, preacher, if I'd have had what you had, or I'd have come where you came from, things would be different. I want to remind all of us that we serve the same God. That his power is not any different in what he will do in your life than what he'll do in the life of the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you. But it all depends on whether or not you're really going to take God at his word and walk with him. You know, there are people that may be thinking, well, you know, God could never do that for me. God could never really answer a tremendous prayer like he did for Hezekiah in my life. Oh, my friend, I remind you of what the book of James tells us, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, we serve the same God to whom Hezekiah prayed. You may see something right now in your life that just seems absolutely impossible. And this is where I want to remind you that what you need to do is come before a holy, righteous God and plead for his mercy. And ask for God to show his power in your life. But don't come half-hearted or you're wasting your time. Don't come and say, okay, God, get me out of this jam, when you know full well if you get out of that jam, you're going to go right back into doing what you shouldn't be doing. You know, it is interesting over the years, and I thank God for the privilege of pastoring for almost 27 years now, but of seeing how many people, it doesn't matter your nationality, your ethnic origin, in our Spanish church, in our English church, but how many people have gotten in a jam, and man, they've turned on the spiritual flames and turned on the spiritual fire and turned on the spiritual fervor. Whether it was a difficult child they were dealing with, whether it was a marital situation, whether it was a financial problem, whether it was a health issue, and boy, I mean everything, Lord, please. And then God answers the request and then just kind of fade off into oblivion. We look at Hezekiah. He was able to say, God, I have sought to walk with you. Lord, I've sought to serve you with all my heart. And just in telling God that, again, with sincerity, with honesty, transparency, God gave him the petition of his heart. But what is it that God wants to do for you if you will but trust him? And not put up barriers and not raise up obstacles and not consider it impossible and not look at it and say, well, somebody else, could never happen here. You see, in spite of the pride at the end of his life, Hezekiah was still blessed to have walked with God. The Bible says in 2 Kings 18, verse 6, he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Today, don't allow your past to dictate what your future will be like. Don't fall prey to the circumstances behind you. Look to the power of an almighty God and ask for him to work in ways that you may think are impossible. And when God answers those prayers, make sure that you give him all the glory. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.